Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
4 minutes after 1 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours, and it is the aftermath of the trade deadline. Yankees, Mets, really across baseball, the Skubal trade, which, look, I mean, the Dodgers are operating under the same rules as everybody else. I am not one of those people that say the Dodgers are ruining baseball or that there's going to be a lockout because of the Dodgers or that there is somehow collusion amongst the owners to make the Dodgers even better so they win another championship. That way, when the owners present a salary cap in the court of public opinion, we all support the owners because we hate the Dodgers, the evil Dodgers. I'm just not in that camp. I am in the camp of beat them at their own game or find a way around that to beat them, much like the Blue Jays almost did last year. They had them on the ropes in the World Series in Game 6 and Game 7. The Dodgers are not invincible. They're not unbeatable. In fact, if you gave me Dodgers versus the field, I would take the field. But obviously adding Skubal to a team that is already loaded was the major national story at the deadline. But the Mets were very, very, very active, trading everybody essentially that they could possibly trade besides Luis Robert Jr., who I just think the Mets couldn't find a suitor for. And the Yankees, to me, underwhelming as far as not getting a catcher. Somehow, some way, they did not trade for catcher. Brian Cashman did not. And I think another bullpen arm would have helped this Yankee team, especially right now. I mean, look, I get, yeah, Schmidt will come back or Warren will go to the pen when Rodon comes back and you can move Weathers to the pen and all these starters can move over there. Yeah, that makes sense. But what about right this second? I mean, you saw it last night. The Yankee bullpen is just completely and utterly gassed. And you can't keep giving up ground to Tampa, especially when you don't own the tiebreaker, and then you're going to find yourself in the first round, and you could potentially find yourself in the first round again against the Red Sox, the hottest team in baseball, a team that doesn't look like they're going anywhere, and it feels like a team of destiny. And then obviously, we still await any type of news on when Aaron Judge could return. Cashman did speak about it yesterday and basically didn't want to reveal when Aaron Judge, or if even it's coming up anytime soon, that Aaron Judge would be going for another scan. Remember, he's got to go for a scan, Judge. He's got to get cleared. And if he gets cleared, he's got to then, for resuming baseball activity, upper body, it's still going to take time for Judge to ramp back up. It's almost like going through spring training all over again. So you're looking at, I would think, once Judge is cleared, at least, what, a month to get back into the lineup in the big leagues? So even if he got cleared tomorrow, we'd be looking at early September, which is great, but certainly doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So now we're looking towards mid-September at best, which is not going to give Judge a lot of reps before October rolls around. Now, in the meantime, Luis Garcia Jr., and you saw it already last night, paying off dividends, he is going to help. He is going to hold the fort down until you get, I mean, Bellinger, you know you're going to get back. Ramos would be helpful, especially against left-handed pitching. But this is still a confusing and, I think, incomplete deadline for the Yankees. And, oh, by the way, George Lombard Jr., this is obviously a huge thing. Lombard called up. Anthony Volpe sent down. Dominguez sent down. And rightfully so. I mean, Anthony Volpe was complete dead weight. should have been either cut, sent down, traded, whatever you could do to get him out of here. The Yankees, thankfully, were able to do that by sending him down. Dominguez, same thing. How many more times can you look at Jason Dominguez, take the wrong angle on a ball or overslide a base or not produce what he should offensively? Jason Dominguez has been more style than he's been substance. He's been more hype than he's been substance. And I think thankfully for the Yankees, as they continue to cut dead weight, Duvall, Bird, now Dominguez and Volpe, it is good news for them. It is also good news for the Yankees. And now we all await George Lombard Jr.'s debut later on this evening. Let's head out to Phil in Spring Valley. He joins us next here on After Hours. What's up, Phil?
Good. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Good. You know, it's pretty crazy. I was a little bit on a high coming into this week. Just had my third kid, and that was like...
Congratulations.
You know, thank you. I was like on a high. I was coming into this...
Now, what are we looking at here? What do you got? Two girls, one boy? What's the breakdown here?
I got three boys.
Wow. And what's the ages, if you don't mind me asking?
I have a four-year-old and a two-and-a-half-year-old.
Okay, and then obviously a newborn. Okay, that's going to be an interesting household in about 10 to 15 years. Three boys running around.
Well,
okay.
I'll tell you, my wife's an Islander fan. I'm a Ranger fan. So
how about that already?
Let's see how this pulls out.
Now, I know you just had a baby, so this is probably not the right time or appropriate time to ask, but is there a feeling that you want to keep trying until you get a girl? I mean, you could end up with eight boys at this rate. So is there a feeling of we're done at three, or is there an idea of, hey, we want to try for the girl to complete the set?
I happen to love playing football, so if it's going to be 15 on 15 or less, are you, you know,
hey,
whatever you're going to go
listen,
on, you know?
I mean, three kids, you've already been outvoted. If they want to have a mutiny in the middle of the night, you and your wife will walk on the plank. So, I mean, already you've already outnumbered, but why not add seven more?
Yeah, I mean, my 2.5-year-old probably runs a 4.2 at this point, so we're pretty good.
Well, that's what I mean. If they could, because college is expensive, they better get a scholarship.
Exactly. Start them now.
But yeah, congratulations to you and your wife on your third child.
Thank you. So, you know, I came to this week on a certain high in the sense that, you know, I was hoping that the Yankees would be the Yankees at the beginning of the year that we saw with the certain desperate feeling that you saw from them.
Yeah.
Disappeared. It seems to have fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks because I actually came in to the deadline saying it's make it or break it. Are you going to show that you are up there with the Dodgers and such, or are you going to go ahead and say, hey, look, we're still the Yankees of these past 5 years who we seem to have injury mess ups all over the place where we can't get clarities or mistakes are being made. You're not handling rookies well. You can't handle a trade deadline or free agency normally. And things just seem to be an abysmal, just confusing, just misunderstanding way of, I don't know what to take.
Confusing is probably the best word I would use. It is confusing because you have now more DHs than you can handle. You already had that. And I think it just goes back to, Phil, the roster construction, which is an off-season thing, which is a totality
horrible thing.
Yeah, and it puts Brian Cashman in a situation where you can't dig out of it at the deadline. So all you could do here is add the best possible bats, even though they're not necessarily the best possible fits.
Exactly, and that's why, like, I was trying to make lineups in my head of, like, okay, so if Rice is the DH, then Stanton's out, who's a playoff monster.
Yeah.
If Stanton's the DH, then Rice is at first, which means that Luis Garcia sitting on a bench, a guy who had the most highest OPS. It just doesn't make sense.
In the National League, he's having as good a year as Ben Rice is, by all accounts. You're right. Now, maybe, Phil, it's one of those things where they know Stanton's not coming back, so it's a bridge they're not going to have to cross. Maybe they know Judge is not coming back.
Could I point out, Tommy, the one thing I feel is that with this Yankee system, there's I'll call it an idiocy in their head that, you know, if Judge is out for the year, just tell us Judge is out for the year and let the fans move on from it. If Stanton's a long while away, tell us that. They play so many games with us. They act like, you know, Bill Belichick with the IL before the games.
Yeah, I'm with you, by the way. If they know and they're not telling anybody, they should. But that's just, if that's the way they go about
but
their
it's
business.
A constant. This is a constant.
There is an arrogance. Years, I think there's an arrogance with Cashman, too, as far as just with his moves, with the way he handles his prospects. I do think there's an arrogance there that is often Cashman's undoing.
Right. And I just feel like this is just a constant, you know, I wrote up before the year started, I tweeted out like a bunch of thoughts on like the way I saw this team. And the more I looked back at what I wrote and I looked back at what I was saying, I was talking about how they just, you know, they can move things around and they got guys that could like move from starters to bullpen because you remember at the beginning of the year they had issues and you went ahead and said, hey, this was smart. They figured things out. They didn't have a single rookie in their bullpen these past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And this year you had, you know, they started bringing up guys and you had LeGrande and you had all these people. But then you mess up with giving Grisham this contract and you say, hey, maybe Grisham could copy it. Well, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but there was there was no way he was going to recreate last year. I didn't even think he'd have the second half he had last year. I just, you know, Trent Grisham is what he is as a baseball player. And look, is there a possibility the same thing with Luis Garcia Jr., who's having a career year? Yeah, but I think with Grisham, to me, there was a reason why he opted in or, you know, he took the qualifying offer is because he knew he wasn't going to get that type of contract anywhere else. He wasn't going to get a multi-year deal because he had a career year.
But I feel like there's a certain letdown. You know, I could understand. I walked out of the deadline saying, hey, look, you know, I don't know what you offered. I don't know the deals that will come out afterwards. But, you know, if you're not going out there and saying, hey, you know what, we plan on bringing George Lombard, so he's a no. But Spencer Jones and these guys, we're going to go out there. We're going to throw them out there. It's going to, you know, we're going to go out there and get guys that will make our team better right now. Yeah. I don't care about what's happening next year. I don't care what's happening in 2 years from now.
You try to
we
win this year.
We need to win. And that was gone. The desperate feeling that we saw at the beginning of the year, they had no longer there. And in a certain sense, I don't blame, I know Boone, I love the guy who brought the stats before with Boone being at full.
Robbie in Phoenix, Aaron Boone's biggest supporter.
It's great, but I mean, at the end of the day, I always look at these games and say, manager could only manage with the team he's given.
Yeah,
I know he makes mistakes.
He can, and you're right. Listen, I think ultimately, if you want to say who is the culprit for the Yankees' lack of winning a World Series, I think it starts at the top. I do think it starts with the general manager. It does start with Cashman. And there's two sides of the coin, and I understand both sides of the coin. On one hand, it's like, well, look, the Yankees are essentially in October every year, which is not easy to do. They make it look easy, and that's a credit to Cashman. But on the flip side, it's almost like the Yankees are content and happy with just that. It used to be winning is everything. It's the only thing. We got to win. And if we don't win a championship, then we do everything in our power to win that championship. And now it's almost like, well, we have such a good thing going because the place is packed every night. We get to October virtually every year. We're playing postseason baseball. We're a successful franchise, to say the least. We're the most successful franchise as far as money, all that stuff. And that feels like, well, that's good enough when it used to not be good enough. And they don't seem to go the extra mile. And like you said, maybe there's a feeling, because I've heard this take, where they just feel like, all right, we can't compete with the Dodgers now, and so we'll just do a couple of moves to appease everybody. But the reality is we know Stanton and Judge are not coming back, and we think we're toast.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Auto Trader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
And if they don't know truly what's going on with Stanton and Judge, fine. But if they, in the back of their minds, or they are kind of confident that, I think with Judge, he wants his injury stuff to be, I think he is very much hands-on with that, and he doesn't want anybody saying one thing or the other. I think Boone said something last year about Aaron Judge's health or an injury, and Judge called Boone out publicly, which is rare that anybody calls anybody out publicly over there, but that did happen. So with that, it's probably a different thing where they got to get clearance from Judge to even talk about it. But with Stanton, I mean, come on. We've heard like three different things the last week about Stanton coming back, three different phrases or ways of putting it, and none of them were actually concrete timetables. Ben joins us from Pennsylvania here on After Hours. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, hey, Tommy.
Hey.
So, yeah, just what you were saying, I like the deadline. I just didn't like it because they didn't come out with a successful team. I feel like they came out and they got some backs, but they didn't fix up holes.
Correct.
And yeah,
they didn't upgrade
style.
A catcher. Yeah, it was incomplete. I think that's the best way to put it. I said they had to add like four bats, and obviously Lombard's one of them. Ramos is one. Garcia's another. But they had to get a catcher. They didn't. I thought a bullpen arm would have been nice, especially when you get rid of Duvall and Bird. I know they both stink, but it opens up opportunities to where now your bullpen is not only tired, but they're almost undermanned, and you got reinforcements coming. But what about the current team? And that's why I thought adding a bullpen arm on the cheap would have been the smart way to go about it.
Right, and I heard Susan, like, and she put it in a good way. I think she said that when injuries come back, it's going to be a set team. But
that's what they're banking on. They're banking on the Judges, the Stantons, the Bellingers, the Clark Schmidts of the world, Rodon. They're banking on those players being acquisitions, so to speak, in early to mid-September. And this team, like you said, being complete with the guys they just acquired, including calling up Lombard. It's a lot of ifs, though.
Right, And I love your takes on sports, and I actually have a comparison. Mm-hmm. That during the Knicks run, you said Cat would do good after the deadline, and I was actually thinking just why Wells, that after the pressure of all the rumors of being traded and being in New York under all these fans' criticism, I feel like after the deadline, he's going to have a turnaround.
You know what, Ben, that's an interesting take, and obviously you're pulling at my heartstrings by, number one, complimenting me, and also, number two, talking about my basketball team. And I did say that. I thought Karl-Anthony Towns played the best basketball of his career post-trade deadline. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Giannis stuff bothered him. I think all the talks, all the stories out there, the social media stuff, you turn on ESPN, you turn on this radio station, you go on Twitter, you go on wherever, Instagram, and it was all about Giannis and the Knicks, Giannis and the Knicks. And I think that got to Kat. I think Kat wanted to have happen what did happen, which is to bring a championship back to the Knicks for him to, in his hometown, essentially, win a title and be a major contributor, which he was. I mean, everything flipped once they started running the offense through Karl-Anthony Towns, having him at the top of the key. But to me, the defense, everything finally all fell into place after the deadline, and I think it was a mental situation. I think mentally, Karl-Anthony Towns was struggling in the first half, and that's why you saw really one of the worst halves of his life. And if you want to tie that into Austin Wells, maybe now that the deadline is gone and the Yankees have put their faith, whether it's by hook or by crook, they put their faith in Austin Wells, and maybe he will reward them with better play offensively. Because defensively, he's been awesome. He's great with the challenges. He's a great caller of games, receiver, whatever you want to say. Defensively, Austin Wells has been really, really good. But offensively, he's fallen off a cliff. And perhaps... much like Kat, now that the deadline is came and went, he could, Austin Wells, relax and put together a nice final 2 months. And the Yankees are going to need that. They got to get some type of production, and they're put all their chips in with Wells. They have no other option. Scara, none of these guys are major leaguers. Wells is their only option. So they're banking on Austin Wells turning it around and producing something offensively. Oh, by the way, the trade deadline came and went, and Francisco Lindor is still a Met. I mean, this idea that anybody thought he was getting traded is just, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, I know I'm not alone here, but I was definitely very vocal about Lindor not getting traded, meaning you shouldn't trade him, nor will the Mets trade him, and that obviously, there was never even any type of real doubt that it was going to happen in the last 24, 48, 72 hours. I mean, they completely put a stop to that, I think, days before the report came out that Lindor was going nowhere, and nor should he. Nor should he. And you could go through all the Mets' moves. I was very happy that they were able to get a top prospect, which has become now their top prospect, which is awesome. And now the Mets have two top 100 prospects, which is great. I didn't want to see Clay Holmes get moved, but the return was excellent, so I'll live with it. A couple of guys there, I think you can make the argument. I went back and forth on Weaver as a sports talk host, but as a fan, I was going to be happy either way if they traded him, meaning if they kept him, makes sense. You need a vet in the bullpen next year, a guy that has handled both situations, once with the Yankees, once with the Mets, as a closer, as a setup guy, as a high leverage guy. He's on a good contract, one more year, $11 million. To me, Weaver, I would have been thrilled if he stayed, but I'm also happy that they got a good return for him. So to me, either way, I was going to be satisfied there. I think as we got to the deadline, I was in the camp of keeping him, meaning as an opinion person, which I am. But as the fan in me, I would have been cool either way. .888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And now, for me, like my biggest talking point, or one of my big, I should say my big talking point, or one of my big talking points, that's the way I want to phrase it, for the next couple months, is I am in the camp on the side of Bo Bichette opting in and sticking around with the Mets. I don't think he's going to get any type of contract that resembles the type of money he's getting paid with the Mets. I think Bo Bichette has fallen into the same sort of category that a Beltran, a Lindor, a Soto, a Piazza, guys that had great track records before they got to the Mets offensively, you know, position players, and then they struggled early on in their Met careers. I think Bo Bichette kind of fits that mold, and I think Bo Bichette, like those guys, will come out of it and have a successful career if he chooses to stay here in New York, and I hope he does. Because I think he will become one of the more beloved players on the team because of his hustle, because of his clutch hitting. That player is still there. I believe in that player. And I hope he ultimately stays. And I wonder out loud if he kind of told the Mets, look, I plan on sticking around, so don't move me. Because if he isn't planning on sticking around, then it would have been nice to get something for him. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night. You know, I got to say that Brian Cashman deserves a lot of praise. Perhaps not for the trade deadline he had. I mean, you don't acquire a catcher. You don't add another bullpen arm. You allow the Red Sox and the Rays both to get catchers, and you're left holding the bag without upgrading the position you most needed to upgrade. But here's where I got to give Brian Cashman a ton of credit, because I don't believe in coincidences. The fact that the Yankees had an awful day, terrible loss, underwhelming trade deadline, you didn't get the best of news from Brian Cashman about Aaron Judge and his recovery and possible return to the lineup this year. So it was an awful day for the Yankees. So what does Brian Cashman and the Yankees decide to do at the end of that awful day? They call up George Lombard Jr. and they send down Anthony Volpe. So now there's red meat to the fans that are upset. Everybody's pumped up for Lombard. Perhaps you forget about the trade deadline. Perhaps you forget about the bad loss. And you just think about George Lombard. Brilliant. Absolute masterclass from Brian Cashman and the Yankees, if that was their intent. Because that's what you're going to hear tomorrow. Lombard, Lombard, Lombard. Instead of, why didn't they get a catcher? Man, that was a brutal loss. What's Aaron Boone thinking, keeping Yarbrough in the game? So, brilliant job. Hats off to you, Brian Cashman, because the timing, and again, I don't believe in coincidences, was brilliant. Because it diverted the attention away from the negative stuff of the day, and it focused on the positive, bringing up your top prospect in George Lombard Jr. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie here in the late night. Let's go to Rich in South Orange. He joins us next. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Thanks for making it.
I've been a Yankee fan. I've been watching them since 64. Good riddance to Dominguez and Volpe. I agree with you. I think their Yankee careers are over, and I think it's justified. My problem with both of them, all the time they've been on the Yankees, they have done nothing but regress. So as a Yankee fan, I've seen enough.
Yep. And they have too. And that's why both of those guys were sent down. I agree with you, or you agree with me. We agree with each other. I think their Yankee careers are over. Perhaps they could be something somewhere else, especially Dominguez at 23, came with a lot of promise, a lot of hype. But I think Dominguez, look, low baseball IQ, in many ways the prince that was promised, but never really lived up to it. And Anthony Volpe, I mean, what more can you say? I mean, he had to get out of here in the worst possible way. I just don't see a future with him with the Yankees.
Yeah, and the only other point I want to make, it's been my concern watching the Yankees all year, and I've said it all year. My biggest concern with the team is not necessarily the holes in the lineup. My major concern is the bullpen. Mm. Now, to make my point, when you look at how very, very good the starting pitching has been, you look at the Yankees' record in extra innings, you look at the Yankees' blown saves, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just for the audience, maybe they're not aware, the extra innings record for the Yankees this year is abysmal.
Yes, yes. And my concern, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I honestly think what's going to happen is the demise of the team in the end is going to be the bullpen.
Well, look, they are exhausted right now, and I don't have any faith in that bullpen right now. The key here, Rich, and the Yankees are banking on this. The key for them is guys like a Warren, a Weathers, a Schmidt. They're going to have to go to that bullpen and be trusted arms, and we're going to find out if they can be, because they need those guys to have roles in this bullpen. Otherwise, look, Bednar's been amazing. You got rid of Bird, and I appreciate the call. You got rid of Duvall, so you cut some dead weight. Hedrick's been unbelievable. Blackburn, I know, relatively recently got roughed up a little bit, but he's been incredible. But you have a bunch of, now with Rodon ultimately coming back, you're going to have a surplus, Freed back already. You're going to have a surplus of starting pitchers, and Rodon coming back. You're going to have to send some of these guys to the bullpen, and you're going to have to hope that, much like what the Dodgers do, because the Dodgers have about 12 starting pitchers, those starting pitchers that are not in the rotation, the postseason rotation, and even down the stretch, are going to be effective relievers. You're hoping, and there's a lot of ifs. Return of Judge, return of Stanton, starters going to the bullpen. If you hit the inside straight, you're going to break the house. But the house always wins. And the inside straight is tough to hit. But that's what the Yankees are going to have to do here. Because I'm not hearing promising things. Not that I have inside information. Just anything I hear from Brian Cashman or Reed or Boone, it just doesn't feel promising about Stanton and Judge returning. And I think you could live without one of them coming back, meaning Stanton being the one, because of Luis Garcia Jr. and the power that he brings and the fact that he could DH and first base. So you're good there. Ramos is going to help you out, especially against left-handed pitching. But the defense is suspect with Ramos. He strikes out way too much, which I know is the modern baseball. But there, you know, look, I hate to give him credit, but the Phillies getting Arise is a great pickup, and I've just always been an Arise fan, and I think he would have been an awesome, awesome move for the Yankees. And if they really wanted to be un-Yankee-like, they could have either benched Jazz or something like that, or put him out in center, I don't know. But you could have opened up second base for a guy like Luis Arise, who would be an awesome, awesome addition at the top of your lineup. Never strikes out, hits for a high average, perfect. But the Yankees did not do that. And the Phillies, as much as we don't like to give them credit, that was an excellent move by them. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie here in the late night. Final segment coming up. If you're on hold, we will get to you. If you want to hop on now, last chance to call me up at least at 888-808-1019. We'll talk deadline, Mets, Yankees, George Lombard Jr. getting called up. The career of Anthony Volpe with the Yankees in all likelihood is over. Same thing with Dominguez. So 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
137! Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Let's do a little fan focus here, shall we? The big news of the day from the Yankees, or certainly the most recent news of the day, is George Lombard Jr. has been called up. We know that Elliot Ramos is also on his way later on today, so the Yankees had to make some corresponding moves, and they have done so. Anthony Volpe, see ya. Jason Dominguez, see ya. Both guys have been sent down. I believe Anthony Volpe and Jason Dominguez's Yankees careers are over. I believe Anthony Volpe and Jason Dominguez, their Yankee careers are over. I think we've seen the last of both of them in the pinstripes. Anthony Volpe, for many years, sort of the sports nepotism. You couldn't figure out why he got a million chances. Bottom line is, the offense has gone downhill. It has fallen off a cliff. Defensively, the arm is not what you want from your starting shortstop. And Anthony Volpe was just never going to become the player that the Yankees thought he was going to be. And he was certainly public enemy number one, especially with Devin Williams no longer here. So it was just time for the Yankees to just part ways with Anthony Volpe. I don't think he's going to become a utility player for them or second baseman. I just think Anthony Volpe is going to be done with the Yankees. As far as Jason Dominguez, Dominguez has been more hype than he's ever been substance. He has a terrible baseball IQ. It is extremely low. I mean, how many times does he take bad angles on a ball? He's oversliding the bag on a weekly basis. Dominguez, low baseball IQ. Never really blossomed into the next Mike Trout or the next Mickey Mantle. Poor defensively. So I think Volpe and Dominguez, guys that had a lot of buzz, a lot of hype. Everybody thought, ooh, these are the princes that are promised. They're going to be these great players. And pillars for the Yankees. I think we have now seen the last of Volpe. I think we have now seen the last of Dominguez. Their careers with the Yankees are essentially over with the arrival of George Lombard and the arrival of Garcia and Ramos. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie here in the late night. Let's head out to Jack in Rockland, who was at the Yankee game tonight. Now, Jack, did you stay for the whole game, or what was sort of the setup there? How many innings did you stay for?
As soon as that ball came off of Burleson's bat the third time, I started getting my stuff, my belongings, and heading out. Yeah,
you weren't alone.
Yo, Tommy, last time we... What was that?
I said you weren't alone. I noticed, I mean, everybody kind of cleared out, but you could just kind of feel it, like that comeback. It felt like the storybook with Garcia hitting the home run, and then that inning that followed, it just took the life out of the building and of the Yankees, and it was really all she wrote at that point.
So, at 6-0, I kind of had this realization that, and I say this about the Rangers a lot, we can't be looking at each other hoping someone else makes the big play. Tonight was not Cam's night, right? And that means somebody in the lineup has to come through with some big swings. And for the first few innings, that did not happen. Everyone was kind of just hoping the guy before or after came up with that big swing. And finally, the unlikely hero tonight, Austin Wells, was the one that broke through with that big swing. The first five innings, it was like, we got a runner on, maybe one on second, but there wasn't that big breakthrough hit. And just circling back to what I said before, this team has to, like, take matters into their own hands and realize that it's not going to be easy every night. It's not going to be like someone else is going to step up and do the job. Like, everyone really has to put it all on the table. Yeah. And come into every night thinking that it's going to have to be me to get the runs or make the big play.
Especially without Judge and Stanton and Bellinger. I think that the guys that are going to put the most pressure on themselves clearly are Lombard, Garcia, Ramos, because they're the new kids on the block, and they're going to. And Garcia showed you tonight that he's not even going to blink when it comes to the pressure moment. I mean, he hit that home run. You know, he styled it. It felt like it was going to be his Yankee moment, this great thing. But I think those three players are going to want to prove the most and help this team the most. And we'll see. I mean, for Lombard, he's a young player. That's a lot to put on his plate. But sometimes those are the breaks, especially when you're a top prospect and it's a struggling offense. He's gonna be looked at in some ways like a savior, and the shortstop, not only the present and the future, and we'll see. It's unfair, but we'll see if he can kind of handle that in these final 2 months, and then obviously the postseason.
Yeah, for sure. Great game, even though we lost. Last time we spoke, it was that game that they dropped. The Angels dropped the fly ball in the infield. I don't know if you remember.
I remember it well.
That was the last time me and you spoke. So we got another interesting game tonight, and I was able to get through to you. So appreciate you as always, Tommy. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, you got it, Jack. I remember that game quite well. I remember that series quite well. It was, Romero, right? The closer was the Blue Jays closer. If it wasn't for him, and they trotted him back out there a second time and he blew the save. I had this take after the end of that series, and McMonagle, of course, part of the law firm of McPherson, McMonagle, and Marash, he was all over me for that take, and the take was the Yankees would have got swept in that series against the Angels. A four-game set. Mike Trout had a huge series. The Angels were hitting home runs left and right. I said if it wasn't for Romano, that's his name, if it wasn't for Jordan Romano, the Yankees would have got swept. And McMonagle was all over me. And then, meanwhile, Paul O'Neill basically said the same thing on Friday night in the next series. So I was, of course, vindicated there. But yeah, I remember that well. Remember the ball drop between the third baseman and Zach Neto. And it was just one of those weird, what are you doing? But we've seen that a lot this year in baseball, where guys are just let the ball drop right in the middle of them. I understand back in my day, I get it. I know that baseball has gone through a lot of changes, some I think for the better, some for the worse. I mean, tonight's game, this Yankee game, Jack, that you were at, if you were a baseball purist, you would have vomited about six times. Number one, Cam Schlittler couldn't throw a strike. There was 10 home runs. There was poor base running, poor defensive plays, bad pitching out of the bullpen on both sides, bad managerial decisions, It was just a wild game, this for sure. And if chicks dig the long ball, and you were a chick and you're at that game, you loved it. There was a ton of power, a ton of home runs, and you had that moment with Garcia that looked like it was going to be the storybook ending, except you got the M. Night Shyamalan twist, which was the Yankees end up losing the game, going away. Who the heck saw that coming? Once Luis Garcia had that moment, I thought, and I was listening on the way coming in, I said, oh, this is over. This is the moment that, like, it was scripted, but it ended up not going in the favor of the Yankees and Garcia, but no fault to Garcia. I mean, he had an awesome debut, and I think he is absolutely the goods. He's been on a tremendous career-type heater the last couple of months. He's having a career year, Luis Garcia Jr., and he is going to be, much like Lombard, looked at as a guy that has got to be a big-time producer over the next couple of months because, let's be honest, Stanton and Judge are not walking through that door anytime soon. In fact, you know, I've been very optimistic, very positive about the return of Aaron Judge this year. When he first got sort of diagnosed, I said, you know what, mid-August, I think we'll see Aaron Judge. Which, all things considered, with everything that was on the table when Judge went down, he was going through all these tests, I thought a return in August was the best possible news. And as time went on, I started to say, I don't know what's going to be mid-August, but early September, Aaron Judge will return to the lineup. Well, for the first time today, I started to have doubts that Aaron Judge is going to return, period. The fact that Brian Cashman doesn't want to reveal when Judge is going to go for the next scan to see if he, an imaging, to see if he can get cleared for baseball activities, that's not a good sign. And we are running out of daylight here. It's already early August. Judge has to go for the imaging, which the Yankees don't want to tell us when it's going to be, or they don't know. Judge has to get cleared for baseball activities, and then Aaron's going to need, what, a month to ramp back up? It's already early August, so you can kiss early September goodbye, and the clock is ticking on mid-September. So now we're getting to the point where maybe Judge is back before the end of the regular season. Maybe. Where I was 90% certain Judge was coming back this year, I have dropped that down dramatically. I'm probably more in the 60% range, which is still above 50%, but day by day here, I am growing less and less optimistic that Aaron Judge is going to return to the lineup this season. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Overall, I thought it was another fun trade deadline, and this is a kudos to Major League Baseball. They definitely have the best trade deadline of any sport, I think, going away. The NFL one is eh. It's gotten a little bit better in recent years, but that's always kind of been a nothing burger. Hockey, and as you know, I am Tommy Pucks, can be exciting, but I don't put it up in the same as baseball, nor do I do basketball. So it was a very active trade deadline, very fun, and all the rumors, all the moves, and there were a ton. So I thought overall a fun, exciting trade deadline. And now, look, the teams are set. You've sold who you're going to sell. The Mets made a million moves, including a couple of ones that they could have obviously kept the Brazoban. They could have kept the Clay Holmes. They could have kept the Luke Weaver. But they decided to move on. And in the Holmes-Tyrone Taylor deal, the Mets were able to get what is now their top prospect. And Jefferson Rojas is a guy that is very well thought of. Super young player. Top 60 or so in all of baseball, but definitely top 100. He'll join Jonah Tong as the only two top 100 prospects for the Mets. I've seen some graphics out there where it says the Mets don't have any top 100 prospects. That's false. That's inaccurate. Tong is top 100, and so is Rojas, who just got here. And I think if the Mets had found a suitor for Luis Robert Jr., he would have been gone as well. But the suspects you thought, Raley, Minter, Peralta, all those guys are gone. Tyrone Taylor, who I think voiced his feeling of wanting to stay here. And I'm a big Tyrone Taylor supporter. He's a glue guy. He's a hard hat guy. Like him a lot. Sad to see him go. But in many ways, you felt like the writing was on the wall and Taylor was going to be moved. It comes as no surprise to me, and I'm thrilled that Lindor is not going anywhere, nor should the Mets have traded him. I mean, just from the player perspective, meaning he's one of your best players. So why would you trade him? And number two, he's not having a great year. And you would be trading him at a low value, and you'd have to eat a lot of his contract. So business-wise, it makes zero sense. So I wouldn't have traded him, nor did I think the Mets were going to trade him. And that's obviously the way it played out. And I don't think it even got close. You know, they were all kinds of, oh, the Mets would love to trade him. The Mets would love, they'd love to do it. I wasn't buying any of that stuff. I always knew that Lindor would be right where he is, and that is remaining in a Met uniform. As far as the other side with the Yankees, Brian Cashman had a incomplete trade deadline. I like the move for Garcia. I like the move for Ramos. Not perfect players, especially Ramos, strikes out too much, bad defensively. But he's going to help you against left-handed pitching, which the Yankees had to address. Garcia is a total stud. He ultimately ended up being the best offensive player that was moved at the deadline. So kudos to Brian Cashman there. Where Cashman failed and failed miserably at the deadline was not acquiring a catcher. How on earth do you not upgrade at the position that you needed to upgrade the most? And not only that, the Rays and the Red Sox, the two teams you are competing with in the American League East, both added catchers. So your competition added catchers, and you, Brian Cashman, sat on the sidelines and did nothing. It almost feels like Ryan Jeffers was going to be the guy that the Yankees traded for. He became unavailable. They pivoted to Rutschman. He was just, as far as from a Red Sox perspective, they put so many prospects into that deal, really good prospects, that they outbid the Yankees, essentially. And it's almost like they didn't have a plan C. They didn't have a plan D. And Brian Cashman was kind of caught with his pants down. And now they have to sink or swim with Austin Wells at the plate, which is not a position you want to be in. Also, not adding another bullpen arm. And you can tell me all you want about the starters that are going to move out to the bullpen. This pen is taxed. You saw it last night. You've been seeing it over the last couple of days. The Yankees need reinforcements in the bullpen. Brian Cashman had to add a bullpen arm. He had to add a catcher. I was 100% sure they were going to add a catcher, and they somehow, some way, didn't. Which is an abject, miserable failure on the part of Brian Cashman. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. As we wrap up here on After Hours, Alshon Tron comes your way next. I will be on after the Yankee game later on tonight. So figure right around 11 o'clock. And it's going to be one that a lot of eyeballs are going to be on because it is the debut of George Lombard Jr., who has been called up here. Volpe's been sent down. Dominguez has been sent down. And whenever you bring up a prospect, especially your number one prospect, it is hope, it is enthusiasm, it is excitement. In many ways, you view that player as a savior, especially with the way the Yankee offense has been going as of late, especially with the way the shortstop position has been going as of late for the Yankees. The idea that you are getting rid of Volpe, he's been sent down, and Lombard now takes his place as the starting shortstop. And defensively, you expect him to be major league ready right out of the gate. They love his glove. And offensively, you're going to be looking for him to produce because there are so many dead outs. Now, they've cut a little bit of the dead weight, but you still have Grisham. You still have McMahon. You still have Wells. You need production out of the shortstop position, and you hope that Lombard can provide that. But anytime it is the sort of the debut in this instance of your top prospect, that is a very special, a very important, and a day that you're very excited about as a fan. So it's a good move by the Yankees to sort of divert the focus off of a deadline where you didn't get a catcher, off of a deadline where you didn't get another bullpen arm, off a day where it feels less and less likely, at least in my opinion, that Aaron Judge and Stanton are returning to the lineup. You divert that attention, which is all negative, to a positive attention, which is Lombard Jr. is getting called up, and just as importantly, Anthony Volpe is getting sent the heck out of here. So we'll have all the reaction to that coming up later on this evening, right here on After Hours. Very much looking forward to seeing George Lombard Jr. in action up close and personal here. And like I said, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage of that following Yankee postgame. That'll do it for me. My thanks to Rosenberg. My thanks to Fliegelman. My thanks to all the callers, all the listeners. It was a fun show tonight, a busy show as we reacted to Lombard getting called up and all the deadline deals. We'll get more into football as we get later on in the week, but tomorrow night, a lot on the Yankees and Mets as we react to Lombard Jr. getting called up in his first action. Alison Tron comes your way next. We'll talk to you tomorrow night on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.